This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. My name is Amy Cordova. I'll be your host today, and I am joined with Kathy Linton from NAM. Welcome, Kathy.
Well, Amy, it's so great to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. You're in Oklahoma today. We had an event this week called Care for Pastors, which we're all about.
That's right. And pastors' wives.
And pastors' wives. Tell us a little bit about what you do at NAM.
I work for the North American Mission Board, and I'm part of the Send Network, which is our church planting arm. And my role is to develop planting spouses. So we plant spouses all across North America. And we provide for our wives coaching and training and community so they can really form bonds with the other women in the city. And so that's my main task. And I do a lot of teaching in other settings for pastors' wives along the way. I do Timothy and Barnabas events with Johnny Hunt. And so a lot of pastors' wife category. That's my category now. So.
Well, I always enjoy reading your blog post and seeing what you're doing. You're all over the place because we have church planters
all over the place. Until COVID came.
But they're still doing amazing work, and it's so fun to see how the gospel continues to advance amid such a difficult year.
That's right.
We first met at OBU Women's Day.
Wow.
That was 2017.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yep. I do remember that. That was a while ago.
It was. And you were the keynote speaker for
that
event. And you have some Oklahoma ties.
I do. My family, my husband was a pastor in Denver, Colorado. And this has been some years ago. But my daughter had decided from Denver, Colorado, that she wanted to go to OBU. So she was making those plans to become a student in the summer of August of 2002. But my husband was killed in July of 2002, Amy, and so at the very end of the month. So our family had this terrible, dark day in our life. We were deep in the midst of really hard grief and just shock. And 1 month through the day, Kate was supposed to start school at OBU.
Wow.
And I sat her down and I'm like, can you do this? And she said that she felt like God had told her, what I've told you in the light is still true in the dark. And so some family friends packed up. We drove from Denver to Shawnee. And it was a really brutal time for her, Amy, I'm not going to lie. But I'm just telling you, the family spirit at Oklahoma Baptist University was phenomenal. And Mark and Rhonda Brister, Mark was the president there in those days, and they were aware, the faculty was aware of what Kate's story was and how fragile she would be as a student on that campus. But the love that she got there and the support, I just cannot say thank you enough to Oklahoma Baptist. And even to this day, there used to be a little house on Georgia Street off the campus there, and she lived there with a bunch of girls, and like I'm sure other generations have passed through that little house.
We have listeners who lived in that house.
So they just called themselves the Georgia girls because they live in this house on Georgia Street. And this many years later, those girls have been out of college for, you know, about 15 years or so. They see each other almost every single year somehow, and they're spread out across the country. So the community, you know, now they're all moms and, you know, it's really, really special.
It
so big
is
shout
special.
Out. Big shout of gratitude. The Ferguson family will always love OBU.
Yeah, we are quite that family here in Oklahoma. And I think that's what makes us so special, not just in Oklahoma, but across the SBC. And what you do a lot is really creating these family units in a way. So when we send our church planters all around the country, they still know that they have support back at home.
Yeah.
And we want our church planters to know that. You deal a lot with planters' wives. Could you just unpack a little bit about how Oklahoma Baptist could pray for our church planters' wives right now and kind of what's going on and giving us some insight in that?
Well, church planning is a very high-risk situation. And we are planting churches in 32 of the most underserved and underreached areas of the country and Canada. And so these are cities that are very, very secular. the cost of living is astronomical. Mm-hmm. They're very large. The traffic's terrible. Many times the school choices are not ideal. And so we have these couples who have this powerful call of God on their life to take Christ's name where he's not known. And they're really going into extremely secular environments. And frankly, many of the cities are very hostile to Christianity. So they're going upstream, Amy, and, you know, against the culture, against an anti-Christian sentiment. So just giving you the idea and finding a place, a site to even have a church. So much of the community is not favorable. They don't want churches in their neighborhood. So if you're from the Midwest or like I live in the Deep South, it's hard to imagine that culture. But right. That's where they're going to. And so, but God is moving, and we see great things happening in our church plants. And I'm telling you, the hand of God, these couples are acting on faith. They're responding in obedience. And God is moving. The Holy Spirit is using them. So it's been, you know, very encouraging for me to watch God answer so many of their prayers. And they have a lot of highs and lows in this. And, Amy, they need each other. And that's primarily my role. They don't need me. They don't need NAM. They need to connect with each other in the city to have that community, that understanding of what it's like to be a planning wife.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's such an honor that every year we get to really focus a week of our time to pray for missions in North America. And I know many women across our state that take every day, they pray for our missionaries. But coming up here, Easter is in sight. And around that time, we always emphasize an offering to the North American Mission Board through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how we can pray differently this year. Last year was so impacted by just COVID-19 coming around. Many of us, our churches were shutting down at that point and trying to figure out church online. How do we even give with social distancing? What does that look like in 2021?
I would say this, especially with the idea of Annie Armstrong in mind, that whatever an existing church struggles are during COVID, a church plant has even greater struggles for the most part. Many of them use schools, and many schools across the country have said you can't ever come back to our facility again because now they're worried about germ. That may change or may not change, but right now there's no hope of them returning to their locations. So I would just urge anybody that has a heart for reaching North America as they think about this offering, that our planters are at great risk. And our Annie offering was down just a little bit last year because COVID had just hit. It happens around Easter. Most churches weren't meeting. So this 2021, Amy, could be a great year to make a really sacrificial gift. And I just want to tell you, our church planters would value this kind of commitment to their ministry. It would encourage them. It would allow them to open some doors to returning back to some locations so they can hold public worship again. So this is a great chance to kind of catch up.
Yeah.
Really catch up.
Well, we're excited about what God can do because we see him moving even though it's hard and even though it's difficult. And sometimes we don't even know what decisions to make or what to expect. But God is still moving in those situations. And so I would encourage our listeners today, our women, continue to pray. Continue to reach out. If you know of a couple that is serving with NAM, planting a church around the country, let them know that you're praying for them.
That's right.
Encourage them through social media.
Yeah.
So you're passionate about women in ministry as well. You have a heart for these planters and raising up these women. How does that also translate just to everyday life within women's ministry and maybe mentoring a bit?
Well, I'm telling you, women are absolutely critical to fulfilling the Great Commission. And we were sent in the Bible a part of the Great Commission commandment. And so when we think about reaching this world for Christ, Amy, we won't do it with women without women being fully on board everywhere we can. And so we have a great opportunity to transform our communities by being active with the gospel. And in my lifetime, we've seen more churches, we're seeing more women on church staff, we're seeing more women leading in different ways, we're seeing more women being really entrepreneurial and starting ministries and projects and things of their own that are really gospel driven. And so I just would encourage women, if God has a call on your life for the gospel, pursue that. You may never receive a check from the church, but a church anywhere, that's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal would be to serve the kingdom of God. And I do believe we're seeing more churches adding women to their church staff and recognize the value of a female perspective in the fully orbed life of the church. So I'm really excited about that and grateful to see those things happen in Southern Baptist life.
It is exciting. And to see that women who are called are able to follow in obedience
That's
to that
right.
call.
That's right.
And we really want that. We want to enable women to do that. Sometimes they just don't know how. So if a woman listening today feels like she's been called to the ministry, God has gifted her, obviously, mm-hmm. to do the work of the ministry, what would be a next step for a woman thinking, I just really don't know what to do next?
Well, I think a natural progression, whether you're male or female, honestly, is to serve in your local church and test your gifts and your passions and your talents and serve faithfully, learn how to make an impact in your church and continue to self-learn. Amy, we know, we've just been talking about the resources online, the ways you can connect with other people that are doing ministry along the way. And vocational ministry where you get paid may not be everybody's options, but honestly, that's not the ultimate goal here.
Right.
And so I would encourage them not to make that part an idol, but to serve faithfully and read and learn and engage and get involved in your community in some way as well. I'm telling you what, Amy, the church, we've been way too insulated, far too insular. And our churches have lost touch with their community. And COVID mm-hmm. is giving us a chance to really get back and connect with those. I'm telling you, yeah. women have a lot of different ways that they can do that with their lifestyle. And I mean, this idea of being on mission may sound a little bit tired, but it's never been more needed to see the space around you. And as a female, every relationship, every business transaction, every time we go to a gym, when we get our hair done, when we're doing all those things, every one of those can be opportunities for conversations to build relationship, to maybe mm-hmm. share the gospel at some point. But we can be the tip of the spear in that.
Yeah. And we don't have to have a title to follow in obedience to what Christ has called us to do.
Yeah. And I think that becomes a lifestyle of kindness and listening and empathy and relationships that when I left my job at after my husband died, I work in a secular space, and I left my job to go on staff at a church, and the man that was so supervising me was not a believer. But he said something to me when I was leaving this company, and again, very secular. He said, "I just want to tell you something, Kathy. I have found you to be a very believable person of faith." Hmm. And Amy, I think we've lost our believability sometimes as believers. And when Mark said that to me, to be honest with you, I've been a pastor's wife most of my life, and 25 years, 26 years being a pastor's wife, I thought, I didn't know that I wasn't believable. But now I really understand, we do have a believability problem.
We do, yeah.
And we don't earn that back by thumping our Bibles. We earn that back by being compassionate, consistent, and have character, and look remarkably different to this world with all a great sense of humility. And I think we're going to display the winsome spirit of who Jesus really was.
Yeah. Yeah, that we can shine bright in dark places.
And I would encourage every woman to ask yourself, am I believable? And what do I need to do to really live a life that someone says, you know, I don't know her, but I do believe she's a Christian. Mm. That's a really powerful thing in the culture we're in with so much cynicism.
Absolutely. That is a great challenge to us today. I want to thank you for coming. Do you have any last words that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I tell you what, we've kind of been celebrating the state of Oklahoma in this meeting because we've been around a lot of your wonderful people. But I just want to encourage this state has a great heritage, and you're walking, just continue to walk in faithfulness. And I'll return to just be generous with your love. Our world has never more needed to see that from us as believers, that we love more than anything, and I think it's time for us to show that.
Amen. I love that. Thank you, Kathy, for coming on the podcast today. We appreciate your time.
Well, it's great to be with you, Amy, and you Oklahoma women.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at BaptistMessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.